Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, and we're going to expound verses 4 through 8 in chapter 1, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, A Voice Crying in the Wilderness. A Voice Crying in the Wilderness. And as we look into these few verses, right away, did you notice when we started last week and now we're looking at Mark again this Wednesday evening? Mark cuts through the chase, meaning all the other gospels give an introduction, a genealogy, and it describes a whole bunch of things that sometimes don't even pertain to us, yet God wants those things there. But in the book of Mark, he went right to the chase. In other words, he goes, I need you all to identify who Christ is. And I need you to understand the impact that he had when he came on the scene. So you don't hear about when he grew up, when he was 12, and that he went into the synagogues and all that, that he was he went to Egypt and came back. No, you find that in the other gospels, but not in Mark. Mark's different. Mark is interesting because over 43 times in the book of Mark, you'll see the word immediately. And so God has given me a message. I think I may be bringing it this Sunday morning about immediately, but I'm just praying about it. But this is an interesting book, and we're going to see the miracles that God did in the book of Mark that was transcribed, you know, over the ages. Did you know that God allowed the Word of God to be preserved for all these thousands of years for you and for me? And so we praise God. So are we there, starting with verse 4 in Mark chapter 1? Let's read verses 4 through 8. And here we go. Verse 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. Key verse right here. Verse 5. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Verse 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. I praise God that the doctor didn't prescribe that diet for me. Verse 7, and he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than what? I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. Verse 8, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Some of you got touched last Sunday, huh? The Holy Ghost came upon you, amen? Listen, when God comes upon you, there's no other experience in this world that can just lift your soul up to the heavens. You'll be filled with so much joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so, we serve a mighty God. Can I get an amen? An awesome God, a wonderful God. And so I'm going to continue on with John chapter. Let's go now to Mark 1 and 4. It says, John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. In the Old Testament, the prophets preached repentance. John the Baptist came on the scene preaching repentance. Then Jesus took over and started preaching repentance. Then when he ascended, the apostles preached repentance. Can I get an amen? And so we see a contrast here. We see something familiar. We see a pattern. And guess what? Nothing has changed. Thousands of years later, if you want to be blessed by God and receive the wonderful gift of salvation, there has to be one prior issue that needs to be resolved between man and God. And guess what that is? That's right, repentance. You have to surrender to God. You have to turn to Him. Amen? And so this messenger was John the Baptist. He was John the Baptist. Can I ask you a question tonight? How many of you feel that the Spirit of God that's upon you will sometimes activate in you to preach like John the Baptist? Listen, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will prophesy, meaning not in a prophet sense, but when you proclaim the word of God, that's prophesying. You're prophesying the word of God. You're proclaiming. That's what it means. You're proclaiming the good news, what God did for you. Aren't you so blessed to know what God has done for you and for me? And so he was the forerunner. There had not been a prophet in Israel for more than 400 years. 400 years. So when you read the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, Malachi ended the Old Testament. There was a 400-year gap before the Gospels. And so for 400 years, they had not heard, Israel had not heard a prophet's voice. Isn't that something? For 400 years. Listen, our nation's only been around for almost that many years. For 400 years, not hearing God speak. Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? That's very incredible. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. How many say I'm there? We're gonna go through our Bibles tonight because I forgot some scriptures up here. Verse 28 and 29. Look what it says here. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. That's what God is doing in your life. The day you got saved, truly baptized in the Spirit of God, you've been prophesying and you've been telling your friends, your family members about Jesus, your co-workers. You've been telling the world around you. Did you know that there's a sphere of influence around you that there's men and women that you will come across that will never meet the people in your life and vice versa? That's the sphere of influence in your life. And so there's folks that I'll never meet in your life, probably never. Especially for those of you that are working, and you're probably working amongst a whole bunch of men and women. I'll never probably meet them in my whole life, but you are in the midst of them. So God has purposely, he has foreordained, and he foreknew that when you would be saved, you would prophesy to all them. Can I get an amen? I'm so blessed that God came upon me in the last days like he said he would do here. Look at this. That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my maidservants and my handservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God has brought that to pass. See, God, the word of God is true. There's no error in God's word. Just like he said he would do, he has done it. You're here, not just for a Bible study. You're here because God is in you. And the Spirit of God's upon you. And you love his word now. Can I get an amen? Without the Spirit of God, this doesn't interest anybody. It's just ink on pages. But the word of God is alive. Turn with me now to Malachi 3. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3. So Malachi confirms Joel. Praise God. You may call it Joel or the book of Joel. It's all spelled the same way, J-O-E-L, right? But Malachi 3:1, he says what? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. You see, this was prophesied of the first coming. How many believe he's coming again? And this actually came to pass. And this is why we're in the book of Mark, and we're going to start learning all the things that was written. Now, stay in Malachi and go to chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. Who doesn't have a Bible? Okay, you all have a Bible, amen? Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Let's read that one again. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This is foreknowledge of God. Hallelujah. And let me just say this. That spirit of Elijah, we just sang that song, Lord God of Abraham. And we're like in the days of what? Elijah. Because in the days of Elijah, there was turmoil. There was chaos. The nations were raging. And right now, no different than what we see today. Can I get an amen? And so, many people, some back then, they thought John himself was the Messiah, but he wasn't. John spoke like the prophets of old, saying that the people must turn from their sin to avoid punishment and to turn to God to experience his mercy and approval. Aren't you so blessed? How many are so blessed that God has forgiven you? Come on. He's forgiven you and he's forgiven me by the grace of God. You know, some of us still remember the things that we've done in the past, and some of us sometimes still carry that weight. But just know this, that the Lord God, when he washed you and cleansed you and he saved you, he cast your sins as far as the east and the west is concerned. The Bible says he remembers your sin no more. But sometimes we still walk around in condemnation. Listen, don't allow the enemy to have his place in a foothold in your life anymore. Can I get an amen? And so this is a message for all times and places, but John spoke it with particular urgency. Why was he talking in urgency? Because look, during that time, they were under the tyranny of Rome. And many were thinking that the Messiah would come and overtake the Romans by force. But God came a whole different way. He came a whole different way. He came humbly, born in a manger, meaning in a cave with a whole bunch of animals. He came humbly. He didn't come in a palace with kings and princesses. Not our Savior. He came a whole different way. And he lived amongst the common folks. Why? Because his father said, I have sent you to seek and save those which were lost. How many can honestly say you were lost when he found you? Man, I'm telling you, every one of us has a testimony. Can I get an amen? And so Saints John preached in the wilderness in the area near Jordan River. We were just there in April. How many were baptized in the River Jordan? Come on. We got two souls in here right now that were baptized in April in the River Jordan. It's still there. Hallelujah. It hasn't changed. Thank you, God. But he did more than that. He urged his listeners to be baptized. There's a significant in being baptized. And some scholars think that the baptism by immersion, going down into the water, was the rite, meaning R-I-T-E, not rite, R-I-G-H-T, but a rite required by the Jews for Gentiles who wished to convert to Judaism, but that was not the case. The ritual of immersion symbolized the death and the burial of the old way of life. Coming out of the water symbolized the beginning of a new life. If so, then John took a known custom and gave it a new meaning. Praise God. John the Baptist, you got to remember, he was the only one in Scripture that when he was conceived in his mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. What? The only one in Scripture. God filled him at conception with the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm telling you, when you get deep into the Word and find out these things, you're just, man, Lord. This is why he was empowered to go into the wilderness, to have camel hair and to eat all those things we just mentioned. Why? Because he was empowered by God. And you know what? He didn't care. He was the forerunner. And so, John's baptism was immersion, and it was a visible sign that a person had decided to change his or her life, giving up a sinful and selfish way of living and turning to God. It was a public action signifying that a person had been cleansed of sin through repentance and chosen a new way of life. There were hundreds and hundreds coming to the wilderness, being baptized. Even the Pharisees came, and they were puzzled. What's going on here? I remember John rebuked them. We're going to see it later on. He rebuked those Pharisees. You're not here because they're here repenting. They were there to spy them out, to see how he can come and destroy what God was doing. That's the enemy. He'll try to trip you up. He'll try to come against your life when you're doing something for God. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he will. After Christ's death and resurrection, baptism came an outward sign for identifying Christ with his resurrection, for signifying the entrance into the Christian community. Praise God. Praise God. Now, baptism does not give forgiveness. Baptism was a visible sign that the person had repented and received God's forgiveness for his or her sins. Can I get an amen? It's a heart check. It's a mind check. Look at here now. He was the first true prophet in 400 years, as I mentioned. Now, in Romans 10 and 8, let's go there. Are you there? Romans 10 and 8. The Bible says, let's see, wait a second. Something ain't. Okay, are you there at Romans? Go with me to Romans 6 and 3. God's going to identify the baptism which came from John the Baptist. Then, you know, Jesus picked it up too, didn't he? Remember when John the Baptist came and saw Jesus coming? He said, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then he also said, "I must what? Decrease while Jesus increases." And so that outward sign that God has did something on the inside was very significant. And in Romans 6 and 3, are we there, Romans 6 and 3? "Or do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?" Meaning, John was the forerunner. He was showing the people that when Jesus comes, hallelujah, he was not only going to bless you, but he was going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Because he says, I will baptize you with fire and the Spirit of God. And so it says, do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the what? How many of you can honestly say you're walking in the newness of life? Come on. You're not the same old person, huh? You know, it's been 30 years for me by the grace of God. I don't know how many years you've been walking, but it's still brand new to me. Amen? Is it still brand new to you? We serve a mighty God. Now, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And why these scriptures didn't come up here on this on here, I have no clue. Amen. You have your Bible, amen? 1 Peter 3 and 20. You know, sometimes we're spoiled because we forget to bring our Bibles in. Pastor Fee has the scripture on the PowerPoint. Or for some reason, I fumbled the ball. They're not up there. 1 Peter 3 and 20. Look at this. Who in times past were what? Disobedient, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved. What? Through water. Okay, now, look what it says here. Verse 21. Figuratively, this is like baptism, which also saves us now. It is not the washing off the dirt from the body, but a response to God from a good conscience through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, who has gone into the heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Wow. You see, that was a foreshadow of John the Baptist. And now, baptism, all it is Jesus was what? Crucified, he was buried, and then he rose again. Amen? And so baptism was a sign of dying to yourself, dying with Christ, dying with him, being buried with him, and being raised up in the newness of life. Listen, I've seen so many people come out of the water speaking in tongues. You know, I have some good friends that come here every now and then, but I've known them for many years. We go back to Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. You guys know, I call them the buckets, home buckets. Steve, I've gotten permission to share his testimony every now and then. He allows me to share this because it's powerful. Before I met him, he used to come to the 7:45 service. It was three services, 7:45, 9:30, 11:15. Sister Yolanda and I, we were so blessed. We served there five services a week because we led the prayer team. So we were there 7:45. We were there at 9:30. We were there at 11:15. Then we came back at 6. We had an evening service, and then Wednesday night. And we loved it. This is where we got our training. But that one morning service, Steve and his brother would always be sitting closer to the front. And they would be there every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday. And then they found out that I had a home fellowship, so they came on a Friday night, and they were coming, they were coming, they were coming. And then I asked many at the home fellowship, have you all been baptized yet? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? And hands went up, no. We're waiting for the beach in the summer. Because they would gather so many, because it was just so many, and they would do it at the beach. I said, you can get baptized now. We have a jacuzzi. Five brothers that night got baptized, and Steve was one of them. And when he came out of the water, God filled him right there with the Holy Ghost. And guess what his testimony was? For 4 years, he was sitting at front with his brother, lit up on crystal meth. He was coming to church, but he was lit up. He was just using and using and using. But when he came out of the water, Jesus set him free right there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's power in the name. There's power in the blood, and there's power in the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? You got to believe God that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. We serve a mighty God, a glorious God. There's power in the name. Can I get amen? Power in the name. And so let's go back to Mark chapter 1 and verse 5. Are we there? It says, and all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And so from Jerusalem, the holy city of the Jews, and all over Judea, a stream of people constantly flowed into the wilderness to hear John the Baptist preach. And he blasted both Herod and the religious leaders. A daring act that fascinated the common people. He rebuked the religious people. Why? Because later on we find out that these religious folks, in their pompous robes and their gold garments and their hats and their rings and their jewelry, inside they were filled with dead men's bones. They had no compassion for the people. None. They were just religious. They didn't know who God was. Because if they would have knew who God was, they would have never persecuted Jesus. John also had strong words for the audience. Why? Because they too were sinners and needed to repent. All those around, he was crying out to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when they confessed their sins, John baptized them in the River Jordan. Saints, listen to this. Confession is more than simply acknowledging one's sinfulness. It is agreeing with God's verdict on sin and expressing the desire to get rid of sin and to live for God. Amen. Confessing means more than verbal response or affirmation or praise. It means agreeing to change to a life of obedience and service. And this is what I've seen in 30 years. Many people that I know are still holding on. Because only God can keep you. Can I get amen? Only God can keep you. I've heard testimonies, you know, God kept me when I didn't want to be kept. You ever heard of that one? Oh, yes. It's the power of God that keeps you. Look at Romans 10 and 8 right here. But what does it say? The word is near in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's the key. The key is to cry out and say, oh God, I have sinned. Oh God, you are the Holy One. If you acknowledge who God is, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. You see, religions, you have to earn your way to God. Just ask how many times when you get a knock on Saturday morning, the ones that come with the leather suitcases and knocking at your door, ask them, is this the 20th house or the 25th house this morning? Or if this is the first house, how many on your list you have more to go knock on? You see, they have a works type of salvation. God says, cry out to me. Cry out to God. Cry out. And listen, you may not be very knowledgeable in the Word of God or know their doctrine, but you know how you could get rid of them really just politely? You don't slam the door. No, no, thank you. You know, you don't get in their face. You know, you're not in the truth. This is how you get rid of them. Hey, open the door and say, let's pray. Let's have that Bible study that you want. Let's pray and seek God. They will say, goodbye, thank you. They are told not to pray with you. You got to understand who they are when they come to your door. They will not pray with you. Why? Because they are told that the Holy Spirit no longer works on the earth. Oh yeah, you gotta, if you understand their doctrine, you'll understand what they're all about. They're deceived. They're deceived. Look at verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord of all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And that's all it takes is repentance, turning to God, turning to the Lord, turning to the one who can save, the one who rose again. The one who said, I will go away, but I'll send you the Comforter. Thank you, Jesus. And look what 1 John says. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Did it say some? Listen, I don't care what you have committed, even after a Christian. If you truly repent before God, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. That's an owie there, isn't it? Aren't you so blessed that the Spirit of truth lives in us? And God is the one that convicts us. Praise God. But the devil will condemn you. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation holds you in guilt and tries to put shame on you. Conviction says, give it to me. Give it to the Lord, and I'll cleanse you and wash you and go on and sin no more. It's as simple as that. But you know what? Religion makes it complicated. Religion makes it difficult. But we serve a mighty God because we honor the King through the Spirit and truth and through the Word and the power of God. Amen. So let's go back to verse 6 in chapter 4. Now John was clothed with what? Camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. Wow. Like I said, I'm glad the doctor didn't prescribe that for me. Just imagine a locust. So did he make it like machaca with eggs? How did he eat locusts? Did he just capture them and netted them and just ate them alive? We don't know, huh? All we know is that he ate locusts. Just the thought of that. It's amazing. But look at this. John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Can you identify someone else in Scripture that looked like this? Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. Because Jesus called John the Baptist one of the greatest prophets who ever lived. Okay, so I'm going to give you a clue. He was another Old Testament prophet. Oh, come on. What was that? John's clothes were much like the prophet Elijah. Elijah. In order to distinguish themselves from the leaders. Why? Why did they look like that? Because they came humbly. They didn't come, you know, with those purple hats, man, you know, that were so high like that. And the robes, you know, and the leather shoes. And the jewels. They came humbly before the people. They humbled themselves before God. They didn't care what they looked like. They were men of God. Back then, and the Spirit of God would come upon them, and then they would prophesy. Let's go to the Word. 2 Kings 1:7. The king asked them, what kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this? They replied, he was a man with a garment of hair and with a leather belt around his waist. That was Elijah. The king said, that was Elijah the Tishbite. My goodness. My goodness. But the Lord forewarned. Watch out for those religious folks. Because the religious folks were going to come all decked out. And they came to corrupt the people. But that's why you could identify a prophet back then as the way they looked and the way they prophesied. And we don't know what order they brought with it, but camel's hair? Come on. You remember how that smelled. We were there in the desert, and we rode camels. Huh. Yeah, I see that back there. Ooh, fushi. Fuchi poo poo. They stunk. Those camels stunk, huh? So just imagine wearing some of camel hair on you. Oh, come on. That wasn't a suit from the men's warehouse. It didn't come, you know, all decked out. But look what Jesus said. Later on in chapter 12, he says, and he taught, and Jesus said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the market. They wanted to be seen. Look at me. I got it going on. And many of them were wealthy. But look what Jesus said. And have the most important seats in the synagogues, in the places of honor, at banquets. But look what he says they do. They devour widows' houses for a show and make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished severely. And we don't know who are the ones back then that repented and now got saved. But if they remained in that condition like this, they're right now in hell being punished. Jesus said it right here. Can I get amen? You see, John's striking appearance reinforced his striking message. That's right. I'll never forget. We had just got here 8 years ago. And it was a Wednesday night. And some homeless guy with dreadlocks would come in. And you know, the Bible says you never know if you're entertaining angels. And so we didn't throw him out. He sat here all the time, right here. But the rabbi saw him. He called the cops and had them run out of here. And I was just saying, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. I mean, you know, they have precedence over this place. But I'm looking at the scripture and it's reminding me you can be very religious and have no compassion of Christ. And these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes had no mercy and no compassion on the people. And so we saw that he came striking in appearance. And probably the Bible doesn't say clearly, but he probably had some aroma to him too. His diet, locusts and honey, was common survival in the wilderness regions. So that's probably what was there available. Well, there's one. Bam! That was lunch. But that's what God said he ate. And the insects were probably protein. I don't know. But I know I wouldn't eat one if there was put one on my plate. Unless you're starving. So let's go to verse 7 in Mark 4. And he preached saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. Man, I'm telling you. John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost at when he was conceived. Now, there's no scripture to let us know how he grew up and where he grew up at and what he did, other than he came on the scene, a voice crying in the wilderness. I look at it like this. When you got saved, all of a sudden you became a voice crying in the wilderness, especially if you were crying in the wilderness in your family's home. Because when you get saved and nobody else saved around you, you're in the wilderness. You're all by yourself. They don't have no clue what has happened to you. But you will proclaim and prophesy like the Word of God said. And so although John was the first genuine prophet, in 400 years, Jesus the Messiah would be far greater than he. John saw himself even lower than the slave in comparison to the coming Messiah. What John began, Jesus finished. What John prepared, Jesus fulfilled. Praise God. John talks about this. Not John the Baptist, but John the Beloved. He mentions this in chapter 3. In verse 22, after these things, Jesus and the disciples came into the land of Judea. There he remained with them, baptized. Now John, this is John the Baptist, also was baptized in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there and they came and were baptized. So here you have John the Baptist, Jesus, and they were all baptizing at the same time. But then John said, I must now decrease. Now you must follow him. Why? Because I believe God put in John the Baptist preparation for his death. They were already scheming to kill him. They wanted this big mouth shut. And we all know the story, what happened to him, huh? He was apprehended. He was thrown into prison. And the king's daughter said, I'll dance for you if you do me one favor. Put John the Baptist's head on a platter. How demonic was that? How demonic was that? Look at verse 24 here. For John had not been thrown into prison yet. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Look at verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourself bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who was the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. In other words, his ministry came into a close. He did what God called him to do since he was conceived in his mother's womb. And so this is where now he tells them all, hey, listen, there's no dispute here. Now you go and follow him. He's going to show you great and mighty things. Because John had to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. This is what the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a problem with. Because they couldn't see Christ in the scriptures. All they saw was a man who in their terms, in their mindset, in their knowledge, was speaking blasphemy, calling himself God and the Son of God. Man. But the Lord had his way, didn't he? So if we go down to verse 8, it says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you what? How many can truly remember when God filled you with the Spirit of God? Come on. I was led by a custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship. Custodian. I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. I was like what Brother G always says. I was toe up from the flow up. I was addicted to crystal meth, cocaine, weed, marijuana, strong drink, you name it. Party and dealing. That was my thing. That's all I ever wanted to do. And I knew that it was going to catch up to me one day, but I didn't know when. And when God was calling me, I can look back now and know that it was His hand drawing me. And things were not going right no more. Things were starting to self-destruct in my life. I didn't have a clue what it was other than nothing was flowing no more. And little did I know that God was calling me and He was slowly giving me a heart to repent. Because did you know that you're not going anywhere until He quickens you? God has to touch your life because we're dead in transgressions and sins. The Bible says we are unregenerated before we come to the cross. We're not alive to God. We're physically alive, but we're spiritually dead. We're like walking around like zombies until God quickens you and makes you come alive. It's like someone laying in a casket that's dead, and then God touches that dead soul and it comes alive, and then it sees the cross. He allows us to see Him. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. That He allows us to see Him for who He is. Man, I got saved at the age of 30, but prior to that, the first 30 years was a life of debauchery. And when He allowed me to see God, He allowed me to see Him. He gave me a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. I told that custodian that led me to the Lord. I said to God, God, I hope I can see that man again. And if I never see that man again, will You show him to me in heaven? And so years went by. A good 7 years went by, and I ended up going from North Park Apostolic Church to Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. And we went on many Israel trips, and we served there. And there was a wonderful couple that we met there named John and Renee Latta. Wonderful people. And we got to know them really well. And then Pastor Leo said, I want to call 5 people to come share their testimony. And I was one of the 5. And so I came up and I shared that a custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship. You guys heard my story before. And I shared that testimony. And the security guys outside were listening because they came in. They said, hey, there, people are sharing their testimony. So they all came in from watching outside. And after I shared my testimony, the other 4 shared. And praise God, we all went home giving God glory. And then I get a phone call. And on the ID caller, it said, Renee Latta. So I thought it was her calling to confirm our Israel reunion party. Because we would have a party a year later as a reunion that we went. And it wasn't Renee. It was her husband, John. I said, hey, John, I thought it was Renee. He goes, Fee, when you were sharing your testimony, I almost fell off my chair. I go, man, did it really touch you? He goes, if it wasn't for me on duty, I was going to run up and pick you up and hug you. I go, wow. And I was thinking to myself, man, I really touched him. He said, Fee, I'm that custodian that led you to the Lord. He was in my midst. And how God would just bring you to a place like that to show you his glory, to show you his grace, to show you his mercy. And later on, we shared and we testified. Later on. You see, saints, John's baptism did not give salvation. It prepared a person to welcome the coming Messiah and receive his message and his baptism. John's statement, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, reveal the identity of the one coming after John as the promised Messiah. The coming of the Spirit had been prophesied as part of the Messiah's arrival. And so it was prophesied thousands of years before the Messiah came, so that we can look back to look now that God's promises are yes and amen. How many are so blessed to know that his promises are true? Look right up here. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour what? Water on him who's thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. And it just didn't stop with that prophet. Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. When you got saved, the Spirit of God that came in, Jesus wrote the law on your heart. Isn't that something? Because we cannot keep the law. So he had to write it on our heart. Thank you, God. And because it's now written in our heart, it allows us to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We see now who he is. These Pharisees couldn't see him because there was nothing in them but dry bones. My goodness. My goodness. Look at this. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, knowing the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. How many are so blessed that he doesn't remember your sins no more? Amen. Listen, I don't care if you still have family members, friends, who remembers your iniquity. It don't matter. Since God says, I remember that no more. That's all that matters. Another prophet prophesied. Look at this. In Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all uncleanness. Thank you, God. Listen, we're not going to live a perfect life as a brother and sister in Christ. But what happens to us is we strive for perfection. We're never going to be perfect here on earth until God comes and changes us and gives us the new body. How many believe that he has a body prepared for you? Oh, yes, he does. Hallelujah. It's tailor-made for you. A body that'll never perish. Just imagine knowing that you're in a body now that'll live forever with him. Did you know that you're going to rule and reign with him? Did you know during the 1,000-year millennium reign that you and I are going to be kings, ruling over those who are still mortal? I'm serious. That's what the word God says. For a 1,000 years, Jesus is going to rule, hallelujah, from Jerusalem. And we are going to be a sign to rule and reign with him. And so the mortal people will be subject unto us. But the difference is we're not going to have a mind no more of unrighteousness. We're not going to have that filthy mind that sometimes we have. We're not going to be battling with lust. We're not going to be battling with covetousness. We're not going to be battling with anger. We're not going to be battling with disease. God is going to make us all brand new, and we're going to be just like him, the Word of God says. It's when we see him in his glory, the Bible says we will be just like him. My goodness. Did you know the Bible says that we're going to be co-heirs with him? And he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're just going to be his royal subjects. Can I get amen? And we're going to say yes and amen, Lord, and we're going to do it with so much joy. There'll be no more medicines to take. Doctor said, I need you on this, this, and this, and that, and that, and this. Well, when I get that new body, I can scrap it all. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know that there's joy unspeakable, full of glory, yet to be revealed to you and I? He's just saying, hold on. Don't throw in the towel yet. Don't give up in your faith. Can I get amen? We serve a mighty God. As we come in for a close in tonight's Bible study, what has come to pass was prophesied in two places. It was prophesied in the book of Joel, or Joel, and also in the book of Acts. But it has come to pass. And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out what? My spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Notice capital S, Holy Spirit. The Old Testament promised a time when God would demonstrate his power among people and give special relationship and blessings to his people. This looked ahead to Pentecost. All believers, those who would later come to Jesus Christ for salvation, would receive the Holy Ghost. What was the one key word that we talked about in the beginning of this Bible study? Yeah, immediately. But what was spoken of the prophets in the Old Testament, John the Baptist, then it went to Jesus, and then it went to the apostles. What was the word? Repent. Repent. Huh, repent. Remember that. Repent. Repent. And so they looked to Pentecost, and all the believers who believed, there was a promise given to them. So when Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit, the entire person would be transformed by the Spirit's power. Jesus would offer both forgiveness of sins and the power to live for him. Did you know that you can't live with him without his power? Because if you were powerless, you would have no desire for the things of God. It just wouldn't connect. And there'll be more important things to be done. But because God's living in you, he'll put a hunger and thirst after righteousness by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. And so Jesus would offer those two elements, forgiveness of sin and the power to live for him. And so we need more than repentance to save us. We need the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? And so this is why in our jacuzzi, you've been there, many of you have been there. I have a plaque, a wood plaque above the jacuzzi. One of them is John 3 and 5. Except the man be born again, he cannot, what, enter the kingdom of God? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit, spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be what? Born again. You can't enter in without being born from above. Can I get amen? And then my other plaque, what's the other plaque says? It says right up here. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. Listen. Praise God for all the churches in the land, across our land, around the world. And there's some that, you know, they just, you know, yeah, I gave my heart to Christ. But if there's no repentance, you're not going to receive nothing. People don't want to preach repentance no more. There has to be true repentance. And all that is you're walking toward the course of this world, and repentance is making an about face, and now you're turning to God. And you want to leave that life of sin behind now. You're saying, God, here I am, change me. But he's the one that gives you the desire to turn to him. He has to quicken you. And so that's why it says, then Peter said to them, what? Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remissions of sin. What does remission mean? Forgiveness. And it says, you might receive. Check your email. Or wait for my text. Or maybe I'll think about it. That's not what the Word of God says, does it? It says, and you shall receive. So look, if you repent and you cry out to God in a spirit of repentance and you're surrendering your total life and you're saying, God, change me now. I don't want this way of life no more. I want you now. God does the miraculous then. Here he comes supernaturally. He will touch your life. Man, and he will touch you so mightier than anyone can touch your life. For some of you that are, praise God, are married, have intimacy with your spouse, there's nothing greater than that than when Jesus comes and touches your life. It's much greater. Can I get amen? Man, there's no words to describe the joy inside of you when you're filled with the presence of God. And that's just a foretaste. That's just a little sample of the glory of God when you're in that full body of his that he's given you. You know why? Because you'll be able to come into his presence and not be disintegrated. Remember when God told Moses, don't look at me. Don't even look at me. Because the day you look at me, you will be consumed. So Moses had to hide. And all he saw was the back end of his robe. What? Why? He would have been destroyed. But when we, man, I'm telling you, when we have the new body, we'll be able to stand in the presence of God. And we'll be able to see him face to face. I always say it like this. I want to see the God who created me. I want to look in his eyes and then just embrace him and fall on my feet and say, God, thank you. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. And if there's any promises in the Word of God, you could take it to the bank, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. This is a promise. This is what John the Baptist was doing. He was the forerunner. Can I get an amen? And I totally apologize for missing those first scriptures. One of the things I recall now that I didn't do is I didn't go back and just double check. I was kind of out of commission. I had to get back into the groove now. Can I get amen? So there's mercy tonight, amen. I'll make sure that don't happen Sunday. It's real rare I miss scriptures. But God is good, amen. We serve a mighty God, hallelujah. Give him praise and glory, hallelujah. And I'm praying right now for maybe someone that's listening to this message on the internet. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe God's now calling you to a place of repentance. We want to pray with you. Now, the prayer does not save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just an awesome tool that God has given mankind to communicate with the holy God in heaven. So he has given us the faith to pray. And so if you're listening, I'm going to ask everyone here to pray with you right now, that you would give your heart to Christ. So pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess all my sins to you right now. Help me turn to you and turn from my ways. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.